Hello, welcome to the Ultimate Gamer. I'm your host, Rob, and it's Stream Street Day 16. I'm very excited to be here in the studio. If you are listening live, thanks for joining us, like I can see Winner Dave is on Twitch. And if you're listening to his back on the podcast, make sure you stay hydrated. And as always, thank you to Ultimate Gamer Patreons for the show. An exciting day today. I've got two, as you can see, two lovely looking fellas. They are south of me, and I'm not going to hold that against them. would you like to introduce yourselves? Who are you and where are you from? Let's start with you, Hugh.
Hey, I'm Hugh. I'm a co-owner, co-founder of Bad Moon Cafe, and I'm streaming from my bedroom in Camberwell, just 20 minutes walk from the cafe.
Oh, okay, great. And Paul, hi. How are you?
Hey, I'm Paul. I'm good. I'm self-isolating in the centre of London. I'm also a co-owner of Bad Moon Cafe, along with Hugh and Paul.
Fantastic. The man, the myth, the legend himself. So hello to everyone who's just joining us in the chat. Virulent, Colonel Cabbage, Halalex, Trog, I can see you. Tristan, all the way from Canada. Virulent says, Hugh, great to see him. It's been too long. Virulent's missed you, I think. So is Gitly in the chat and K-Dread. So, yeah, if you aren't aware, these guys run, own, organise the Bad Moon Cafe, which is an incredible gaming space down in London. I can say that I've been. So that's just my review. I really liked it. The cafe was great.
You're right.
Good, I'm glad. And so I thought today it would be really fun to talk to them, find out a little bit more about them, their history, find out about the Bad Moon Cafe, setting it up and what it's like to do that, and then start talking about your local gaming stores around the world in general, because it's going to be very important to keep them alive because they're big centres of our hobby and community. So I'm very excited to talk to you guys. But first up, how are you both? Are you both well? How are you coping in these times?
Yeah, I've already had my coronavirus, so I had it. My friend's flatmate is a policewoman. She was on the front lines, got sent home 2 weeks ago with it, and then I got it through our mutual friend. So I've done my coronavirus time, and I've basically just come out of it just now. So I'm doing well, and I'm now a superior being because of the antibodies I now have.
Good boy.
I've managed to avoid it so far by not touching anything. I've not touched a thing.
You're not even touching anything now.
I sleep with my hands raised and I just I wash them every 5 seconds just in case. But luckily, I've not got anything yet. I am expecting that I'm going to get it at some point. I mean, I think we all are. Or most of us are, but I'm trying to keep it down to the, later on the year thing rather than next week.
That makes loads of sense. I think a lot of us are trying to replicate that Lumineth Realm Lord who sat on the rock. I don't know if you've seen the new one. Just floating above all of the problems of the world right now.
Exactly.
Okay, good. I'd like to know more. Hugh, let's start with you. Like, getting into the hobby. Where did you start in your life? How did it become something to you?
So I guess from a very early age, my favorite TV program as a kid was Thomas the Tank Engine, kind of half because of trains and half because it was all these models. It was all shot just using models. And so that kind of got me into models, model railways. And then at about 7 or 8, I got into Warhammer. That was about the time of 3rd edition 40K, the one with the black Templars on the cover. And I kind of collected and played for about 5 or 6 years. I'm not sure I actually played a proper game of Warhammer the entire time. I think I just painted a load of stuff and that's it. And then I kind of stopped the hobby when I was 14, 15, and then got back into it in my late 20s. So I guess 3-4 years ago. And then I met Boris, another co-owner, and Will, the other manager. Paul and Will are both managers, and I met both of them in London Wargaming Guild. And then that's kind of how we started Bad Moon. But yeah, when I was about 7 or 8 is when I got into it.
So it's an early start, which is, I hadn't thought of model trades as the way in, but definitely that works. That works for everyone. Is there a plan to do kind of, the toy shop out of... I think it's Home Alone 2, where there's a train set kind of running all the way through Bad Moon eventually.
That would be amazing.
I'm just going to kill that one right now. Make that very clear. Absolutely not.
Just delivered by train.
I love that idea. That sounds great. Paul, how did you get into the hobby? Like,
so I've got a fairly similar story. I think a lot of people have. I played, again, when I was a kid, the first kind of game I played, first foray into even kind of sci-fi games was Space Crusade, which some of you guys might remember. Which was it was a board game that I got for Christmas once, and it just fascinated me. And then at school, when I was a kid, I found there was some kind of like wargaming group that set up, and they were playing this crazy new game, Warhammer 40,000. It probably wasn't new at the time, but I'm going to say it was. And then I got into it from that. Got very interested, loved the whole fluff and background aspects of the hobby. And then nothing, huge hiatus for, 10, 15 years. Only recently getting back into it, maybe, some 4 years ago, a friend of mine said that he's really itching for a game of Warhammer. Can I hook him up? And it sounds as if that's some kind of plastic drug deal. And I did actually know someone else at the time who was still playing. Put two and two together, and suddenly, bang! I'm back in the hobby in a big way.
Okay, that's a very similar story. My story, if you didn't know, is I got into it way later in life. I did the kind of World of Warcraft thing with my friends, played a bunch of other computer games, got super into a game called Guild Wars 2, really into that, and then one of my mates was like, you should try this tabletop game. We played on my table, and then we went to Warhammer World, because obviously that's just like 10 minutes away from where I lived at the time, and even now where I am right now. And I was like, this is pretty cool. And I don't know if I would have been as impressed with it, like maybe somewhere else in the world, but I think that's what local gaming stores maybe do. They give that Warhammer World impression, maybe even better sometimes, let's be honest.
You can say that now, Rob.
I was never nice about the food at Bugman's. That's still like one of the worst experiences you could have, in my opinion. Do you guys have a game system that's yours, and it doesn't have to be either AOS or 40K. Have you got like a favorite thing, or a favorite kind of army, or something that you really like that's got you into either any of the games?
Yeah, so I guess I'm kind of running the Age of Sigmar community for Badman Cafe, and it's kind of my only Games Workshop system right now. I kind of play a bit of Frostgrave on the side and a lot of board games, but Age of Sigmar's kind of my area for Badman Cafe. Actually, I got back into the hobby when 40K 8th launched, but just I found the crowd for AOS a lot more my kind of crowd, so I kind of stuck with AOS, and I much prefer the game right now as it is. I've got too many armies, really. I guess my main army I'm playing now is Flesh Eater Courts. Only one Terrorgeist and only in blister skin, so don't ever go at me for that.
It's fine.
I've got a Maggotkin army, which is just a list from AOS 1, so it's not quite that great now, but I've just got 20 more Blight Kings on the shelves I'm going to make and try and run, which should be a bit more competitive. I'm building a Ossiarch Bone Reaper army along with Boris, one of the other co-owners. I've got a Cities of Sigmar army that is now fully airbrushed and Zenithal, waiting to be painted. And I've got 1,000 points of Mortal Zinch on the shelves, waiting to be painted as well. I kind of stocked up when the lockdown was obviously going to happen. I decided to stock up a lot. And we run a monthly tournament at Badman Cafe called War in the Mortal Realms. That's just kind of your standard 2,000 point three game tournament. Sometimes we do 2,500 points. I've also run a 2-day tournament, which was called Rage of Sigmar, which I named before realizing there was a podcast called that, but they were cool about it. And it was kind of a standard 2-day, 5-game, 2,000 points. And then in addition, we've got an Age of Sigmar League, an Age of Sigmar Slow Growth, and a little Warcry League as well. And I kind of have a hand in running all of those. But generally, it's Paul and Will who are at the CAF in the daytime and running things, as this is just kind of job on the side for me. I'm a CG artist slash illustrator as my main job. So I kind of run the Age Sigma community on the side.
This is a nice side job. Like, it's a good community to be a part of on the side, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the community is amazing. Like, when I started, I was worried we wouldn't have enough players or what they'd be like, but we've never had a single issue in any tournament. You know, no kind of dodgy rules questions, no cheating or anything. Shout out to South London Legion, who are a really fantastic local gaming group to us, who really usually sell out all of our events pretty quickly, but they've been fantastic. So we're really kind of, I feel really lucky to have it, because I don't play the game as much as I'd like. Therefore, I don't know about the intricacies of the rules that much. So if I had a kind of win at all costs or you know, a different kind of community, I think I'd have a harder time as TO than I do right now. It's quite an easy job, and it's really enjoyable.
Yeah, I think that's super fair. You could always go down the Swedish method. My friend John, who is always the head judge at Bobo, says, if you ask me a question about a rule, I'm going to award it to your opponent, which I think is like, it really shuts it down super quick.
That's actually, yeah, that's a good policy.
I've never been, I was like, wow, that's impressive. Mystic Sufi in the chat says, also, Hugh, don't be afraid to talk about your Stormcast, apparently.
Stormcast, Anvils of the Heldenhammer. I basically just got the Soul Wars box and added a few things. I'm a very slow painter, so the issue is an army comes out like Flesh Eater Quartz. Everyone goes mad over a list. I build the list with models I like, and it gets to the table 6 months to a year later, post-fac and everything. So I had this Stormcast list, and I started playing it 6 months post-Battletome, which is, you know, when people started to move away from it, and it just wasn't doing much. I had Judicators battle line, which was a terrible idea, 360 points for bugger all damage output. And so I basically sold half of them. So everything that's painted, I've still got, but I think it's about 1,000 points. And I might use him in my city's army, but probably just wait for the next chamber to open and see what models I can get in it. But yeah,
it's good. Okay. yeah, I want to talk more about those events in a bit. I think they're a really exciting thing to talk about. But Paul, same question to you. Obviously, factions, game you're interested in. What floats your boat?
I was just going to confirm that most of Hugh's pile of shame is actually at the CAF in the back storeroom. I can confirm that he had about 50 armies, all of them unpainted. Just want to start with that. And then my game is the 140,000. I'm definitely much more into that than anything else. I think what initially got into them, I saw the Space Marines, as I said before, from the Space Crusade and things, but they had a little expansion in Space Crusade, which some of you might remember, called Eldar Attack. Not sure if you remember that. The reason that's important is because that is definitely my my favorite faction. I love everything about them, but in particular, the background and the fluff. I recently started building when I say recently, I mean, 4 years ago, started building a Drukhari army to complement them. Also, kind of different play style, different colors and things, which I'm enjoying painting. Like you as well, I have several armies. What I do with my piles of shame is that I build the models, I paint them, and then I decide I didn't like the color scheme and they need to be stripped and redone. Right, that is much cheaper and more efficient than buying thousands and thousands of new models. But then I also buy thousands and thousands of new models. Let's just make that clear. So yeah, it's a never-ending cycle. I also dabble in Imperial Knights. Not sure if any of you guys following my Instagram account, but I put a few pictures up on that.
Oh, put the cheeky plug in. What's your Instagram account called? Get it in there. Get some views.
It's at Warhanna40,000. Hannah being my last name. So, at Warhanna40,000. Have a look. There is a total of 6 photos, I think, there. Maybe even just 5. So, you know, fill your boots so far. But that's a testament to my progress on these models, which have taken, a good kind of 2 years. I think I did a whole shoulder pad last year. So,
Big shoulder pads.
And I was very happy with that shoulder pad. I even base coated it and varnished it. Transfers coming next year. So, that's my aspect from things from 140,000. At the cafe, as Hugh was also saying, we run, you can see this poster over my shoulder here. It's actually, there's two reasons that's there. One, because I like it, too, because Hugh designed it and it's actually very nice. But the third and main reason is because it's the only part of my room that's not filled with rubbish right now. So it's the clean area. So that's the Bad Moon Rumble, which we run in Bad Moon Cafe as well once a month, which is a Warhammer 40,000 RTT or one day tournament. Normally 18 players. I run that sometimes myself as a TO, but regularly, if I can, we'll get guest POs to come in and run it, because I should be doing other things, to be honest, at the cafe. I am working there. They've been great fun, those tournaments. People absolutely love them. They sell out now normally within an hour of putting the tickets up, which is amazing. Testament to how much fun they are. And they are competitive, but not crazy competitive. It is a one-day thing. People do seem to kind of enjoy coming down, having a coffee, having a beer, playing a game, and then to
back that up in the chat, Warmaster26 says, just saying, if you ever want one of the most laid-back, enjoyable tournaments to go to, one of the Bad Moons, which is based in London, obviously in the UK, AOS Tourneys by Hugh, can't say enough about how amazing they are. So if that gives you any indication, you're getting that love already in the chat. Okay. interesting AOS for 40k. So I'm gonna ask you both a question about your respective game systems. If Carol Baskin was gonna play an army, I don't know if you know who Carol Baskin is.
I don't know if Paul does. I'm one.
Okay. Well, you could just guess one. Pick her a 40k or an Age of Sigmar army, respectively. I think that would be the fun. Also, Charles Black, thanks for subscribing. Just pick one. Just imagine just an awful person. Sorry, Hugh?
Beast Claw Raiders, no?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, she's going to play the Hunters. Nice. Yeah. If you're not in on this, I'm so sorry, Paul. I've thrown your blindside.
No. If based on what I'm hearing, definitely
Tao. Yeah, definitely Tao. Jimmy says Iron Hands, and then Spittle Pigeon says she'd be playing un-FAQ'd Iron Hands in AOS. I think that's absolutely...
Wow. That's brutal.
Yeah. So, good. All right. If you guys out there have got any thoughts, let me know who you think she would play, which army she should play. All right. So, a local gaming store around the world. I'm sure everyone's got their own great local gaming stores. And if you do, shout them up in the chat and I'll shout them out wherever you're based, because obviously an international audience. Or if you've got some really great, cool cats who run a really great local gaming store that I can interview later in my stream streak, because currently I'm a day 16. I feel like I'm definitely going to get to 80 at some point, so I'm quite excited to see what the future holds for me. But what is it that made you decide to set something up, especially in London? Like, that's daunting. It's incredibly expensive. Like, property costs a load. You know, like, I know there's that, therefore there's a lot of people, but it just be, I'd like to hear about, you know, where the inspiration to start everything off was.
Yeah. So like I said, I met Boris and Will, who are two other co-owners. So initially it was the three of us, and then kind of Paul came in a bit later. But so I met Will and Boris at the London Wargaming Guild, which is a really great meetup based in central London that does lots of wargaming stuff, really active community. And I met both of them there, and they both said they wanted to open a hobby store, a Warhammer store, but didn't necessarily, you know how to go about it. But then between the three of us, I have experience in kind of architecture, and that's what I work in now. I'm not an architect, but I kind of work in architectural illustration. Will had managed a supermarket before and managed some other stuff, being kind of store manager. And Boris has kind of experience in property and managing property. So between the three of us, we kind of realized we had a lot of the expertise we might need. So we spent 3, 4, 5 months kind of creating business plans and things. And it became apparent that in order to make what we wanted, which was a community-driven store, we'd need a lot of space and it'd have to be accessible. And so you need a huge kind of 2,000 or 3,000 square foot place in central London, which is quite a tall order. It's a tall order for a couple of reasons. First, obviously rent and rate is really high. And so how do you get the turnover in your business to be able to pay for that? And then second of all, in central London, as you probably know, everything is either a Pret or a supermarket or a chain yes. store. It's really hard for a startup business to get to get approved to just rent somewhere, you basically need to do your business pitch to the landlords of the location you want, because from their point of view, if they rent out to a startup business, it's a gamble, because you'll sign, let's say, a 5-year contract for rent. And if you go out of business, they then need to start up again, find someone else to replace you, has to come in, redo all the decor and everything, so they can lose 6 months to a year's rent. So most landlords are really unwilling to take a gamble on it. So we had to find a massive space in central London with a landlord who was willing to gamble on a startup. And there basically aren't many places. I think we found two or three. One we lost to a pizza chain store, which was in East London, in Whitechapel. And then this second place was in Bermondsey. And it was quite good in that it's not in a high street location, but it is quite central. So it's kind of 10 minutes from Borough, 10 minutes from London Bridge, but not on a high street, which meant rents were a lot lower. And it's 3,500 square foot. So we managed to get that place. And it's really important to have a big space because we wanted to be able to host tournaments in store. You know, I think tournaments are really a great thing for communities in that you meet all your mates, but you also get to have quite an intensive gaming session of Warhammer and play a load of armies you've never played before. I remember my first tournament, I had played only armies I'd never played before. So it's a really great way to improve your game and to meet other people in the community. So we kind of decided we needed at least 10 tables in this space, and we wanted the tables to be full size. We wanted space around the table, because I'm sure other people have this experience in their local gaming store, is there's never much space around the tables. You might be kind of arse to arse with another unfortunate gamer behind you.
That's the technical term, by the way.
Yeah,
that's the technical term.
It's also they're the unfortunate one, not me. It's more, a bit of a Rorschach situation.
And so, you know, that's no fault of the gaming stores. It's just spaces at a premium. And by giving, you know, 5 foot of space between tables or however much you need for that space, you're just losing money. But we really wanted that because we kind of realized, if we're in central London and the rent is high and the rates are high, we need to offer a premium experience to justify that. And therefore, you need proper tables with proper space around them. So that was the whole thing. We basically, the entire design of the store and the space was designed around the idea of having a full-size table with space around it. And so I did a design for it. We kind of got the approval of the landlord, and then I think we moved in September 2018 and then opened in December 2018 after a lot of issues with builders and other things. So that was the core of it, was community, running tournaments, running events, gaming space. And so right now, if you kind of divide up the cafe, the whole premises, I'd say it's about 20% cafe area, 10% bar area, kind of 60% gaming, 10% stock. And then we've also got back of house and toilets and stuff. But that's kind of the abridged story of Bird Moon Cafe. I don't know if Paul wants to add anything to that.
Yeah, I'll just say, I mean, I'll mainly echo what you're saying, but the premium feel is really important for people to feel comfortable and spend time. It's not something like some retail stores, maybe you want someone to just walk in, do something, create a function, maybe buy something, whatever, and walk out. It's not that. We're a venue about community. Want people to come and stay, come and relax, come and spend a few hours. So as she was saying, the tables are designed in a way that you can have enough space to walk around them, but also the tables, you've been down, Rob, the tables are not just 6x4 tables, which is what we do need. They also have bits on the side large enough to put your models, to put your codexes or books or battle terms, whatever, a secondary shelf underneath the tables to store your bags, your models, anything else that you brought with you. You're there for a few hours, is the intention. Also, we chose a place with high ceilings, very airy look, and massive windows on you know, dual aspect, two fronts in the front of the shop, with loads of sunlight coming in all the time. So it's got a welcoming feel about it. The idea is you don't walk in and feel, oh, I'm here to fulfill a function or just buy something and walk out. I'm here to sit down and have a coffee. I mean, ostensibly, we are a board game cafe as well. So we have a huge board game library, over 150 games and counting. on the walls, and people can just come in, play those. So you don't, there's nothing to do with, you know, Warhammer or anything if you don't want to. Come and have a coffee, come and have a pizza, whatever. But, you know, the functions are there. The tables are there for booking. People can come and partake of the whole thing. And we have people, and this is kind of, I think, testament to slowly getting it right. We have people who come down and will spend a good 8 or 9 hours in the venue.
Okay. Yeah. No. I'll echo those sentiments as a customer who's turned up, and as the title of the show should let you know. If I didn't like it, I'd say. Although that'd be weird to have you on and tell you both that I don't like it.
Are we going to get an email afterwards saying, "Yeah, cheers, by the way,
it's going to
be lucky."
Going to get gotcha'd on the TV. No. No. It's really nice. One of my favourite things is I got to go and hang out there, and I hung out with the Scrivs. Once me and his missus, we just hung out in the cafe. Hung out with Darren for a while, and I hung out there for most of a day, and you guys were having, I think, an Age of Sigmar event on both of the days. I turned up weirdly, and it was really full, and it was just awesome. And like I said, the people that you have there, you've got a great community growing around it, which is really, really nice as well. Hold on, I'm just one of the things, someone just said something in the chat about it, but generally anyone in the chat is being super positive, especially about the tables. I think actually my very first ever wargame experience of the gap between the tables where you can put your models was Firestorm Games, but to see you guys replicate that is obviously, or like do your own version, because maybe you didn't see it, but like I'm sure other places have done it as well. Point is a gap between the tables is phenomenal, and also playing on mats and not Realm of Battle boards, whole different board, which I think is great. So I think that's it's a good shout. So the day to day, obviously we're going to get up to what's happened in the moment, but the day to day about running a local gaming store. Now, obviously, one of the key imports is to make money, so I don't think we really need to cover that. But how important is it to you to build communities around the place? Like, is that your goal and intention with the events? Like, what do you like to happen in there? And is there a way? Yeah, that's it. Really, that's the question.
Yeah, that is intentional. Essential as well. The community is everything for us because we are a venue based business. So this particular situation, as you know, that's going on around the world at the moment with this coronavirus, is a huge problem for us because we don't rely on, in terms of business model at least, on just selling bits and pieces. We want people to come down, just come down, spend time, enjoy yourself. So community is everything for us. Definitely built around the fact that people will come in groups. They'll come in by themselves and make groups. We have meetups, we have Facebook groups, we have our website, all those three avenues for people to kind of get together, particularly our Facebook group called Bad Moon Community, which is free to join. Everyone joins that and just chats in there. We also have a Discord server going on as well for people to have live chat. We want to bring everyone together at all times, whether we're open or closed or this virus thing is happening or not. That's essential for us. And people form communities that they weren't part of before through those avenues. So some people will post, for example, in our Bad Moon Community group and say, hey, you know, I'm looking for a game of Age of Sigmar, I'm looking for a game of 140,000, but also I've got this cool new RPG that I want to play, because RPGs are a big thing for us. A cool new RPG, or has anyone tried this game system, or do you have anyone who can be a DM or a GM for any of these kind of games? People always respond in the group. They're really friendly about it. Make a time and then meet up at the cafe and go for some gaming. So it's essential for us, the community, actually. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Hugh, got anything on that, or you just you?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think kind of when we opened, we went down to Nottingham to speak to Games Workshop, to their sales guy. I don't know. It's the guy you talk to when you're about to open business, and it was really clear that Bad Moon couldn't be a business that makes a profit on stock, basically, because especially in central London, if you're trying to make money on stock, it's kind of the wrong thing to do. The cost per square foot is so high that just storing a load of plastic models on shelves with that rent is just a ridiculous idea. So you have to get revenue a different way, and that is community building. And it's a very slow process. When we started, we had a small community. But the idea is, if we can support a community and, you know, justify our costs, what we charge to the community, and have return customers, then we'll sell enough drinks and everything. So it's not just a kind of lovey-dovey, warm-hearted thing we're trying to do. It's quite in the cold business decision that we must have a community and we must support it and do the best we can and improve when we can, because otherwise people won't come in. Our business model is not really selling Warhammer that much, because it's not the way to make money in central London. It is about the community, so it is really key to us. Hopefully we've improved, and we're always open.
Well, can I soapbox a moment about community? So, like, I've been, some people may or may not know, I've been a nightclub promoter for 13 years. It took the virus to stop me, and one of the key elements about that, obviously, I did that for my job, and I don't think that there is a negative to creating a community and then being the people that get paid to do so. I honestly, like, as much as you said it's a cold calculating business decision, or it's not, it's, you know, there has to be. I still think that the idea of creating a community, because I personally want that. Like, if you're working a full-time shift, like doing something, it doesn't matter what it is. It took, actually, yeah. I had a war with myself. This is a personal thing, but I had a war with myself maybe 5 or 6 years of being a nightclub promoter. I was like, this is pathetic. Like, what am I doing for a living? Like, I should be like a doctor or a nurse or like anything good. You know what I mean? Like, but truthfully, those doctors and nurses or whoever it might be, they need somewhere where they can unwind from whatever it is they're doing in the thing that they enjoy.
Yeah.
And that means that they need, like, like you said, constant improvement, something that's really good, something that's really safe, and something like you're trying as hard at your job to make them have fun as they're trying their job, whatever their job may be. Like, and I honestly think it took me a long, this is a personal thing, but it took me a long time to actually realize that building a community and getting paid for building a community is really important to the community. And so I don't, like, yeah. I understand that you guys are a business, and I appreciate you actually saying that, but I also think that there's more to it than I used to think, because I'd...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean when I say, you know, it's kind of business decision in the sense that we're aware if we didn't have a community, we wouldn't be open. But at the same time, we did open for the community. That's why we have a huge amount of space that's not stock and doesn't actually on the surface sell anything. You know, it's just the wargaming tables is everything, because ultimately we opened it so we could host community events. And that's what we always want to be doing. It's just we're always in the back of our mind, we're aware that a key driver for us is it's got to be really good, because otherwise we have to close. Because if our community leaves us, we're kind of screwed. We can't make money off coffees and people buying Warhammer off the street. It's got to have that community. So it's both, you know, it's both the reason we open it in the first place, but also it's something we've always got at the forefront of our mind. I know Paul in particular, when he's on the shop floor, is like an eagle, making sure everyone's, you know, making sure there's no queue at the bar, making sure everyone's happy in store and everything.
So, like, if you learned, like, what lessons have you learned from, like, opening to now? Like, what things did you envision and what things did you not expect? Like, or is it all smooth sailing and fine?
Absolutely not. No way. I wish I could say it was smooth sailing, but no, it's a learning experience even until now. The community at the beginning didn't exist. So we had opened, we had this huge venue, we had all this stock, all these things ready, and for a while, no one coming. Now, that's fairly standard. I mean, it's a startup, brand new business, no one knew about us at the beginning. Yeah, that's all fine. But building community was essential to start bringing people in, not just advertising, telling people where they can go to play these games, giving people a better venue to go to if they've been going somewhere else before. If people have been playing at home, which is a large amount of time, that's what people do, and that's absolutely fine. But if they wanted to get together somewhere else, maybe a more convenient location for people, or just wanted to go out and spend the day somewhere, all those kind of things, we have to create the awareness of these situations, of this venue, for people to be able to come to. But then there's another thing related to that, and I'll echo what you were saying there, Rob, about building a community and how important it is to you as well. People come to us to have fun. That's a crucial thing to understand. If you are a customer walking into a retail establishment or a bank or a shoe shop or prep, as you were saying, you are doing so for a transactional reason. You're going there, I'm going to fulfill this purpose, I'm going to buy this thing or get this thing, and I'm going to walk out. And your relationship with the staff, with the people in the shop, can also be kind of transactional. I appreciate when people try to always treat staff in these kind of shops nicely, and I think that's essential to do, but people sometimes forget that. Whereas with our kind of business, people are walking in the door, they've done their work for the day, they've been to work, they've been to do their post, they've been to pay their gas bill, whatever. They're coming now to have fun, to unwind, to relax, to enjoy the community, enjoy the venue. So we feed off that. We, as staff, definitely feed off that. You're standing behind the bar, you've got 100 people suddenly in your venue having a coffee, having a drink, having a pizza, having whatever, playing games, and all of them combined have this energy which they're enjoying themselves, and you feed off that, and you realize that these people are here to have fun, and you have fun because of it. And I think that is huge. I was, like you, Rob, doing a job previously which was okay career-wise, but I did wake up in the morning questioning, you know, if I'd committed some sins in the past life. so this has changed things, definitely. I also, as Hugh was saying, I mean, when I'm there, I feed off the energy of everyone there. I'm always making sure everyone is okay, because maintaining that sense of community, maintaining the feeling that people have when they come in and think, hey, this is a cool venue, this is a nice place to be, this is the place I want to come back to, is actually very hard work.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, again, as a club promoter, that would be the one of the things that I would focus on as well, is, you know, like, seeing what people wanted and needed, and making sure that their needs are met. It's a service job at the end of the day, like, for people who want. And also very, yeah, very London. Like, it's quite funny seeing a lot of that, like, I can't remember when, but a few pubs and bars in Nottingham started to just stock a few board games here and there, and it was like, oh, that pub stocks, like, not Twister, that's a bad example, Scrabble or something. You'd be like, wow. But now you guys have done the other side, where it's predominantly a thing with a nice bar and cafe, and the food's excellent as well. Someone in the chat was putting there. I just want to touch on a point that a guy called Trog made in the chat earlier, when you guys were talking about it all being in one room as well, because that's also something I thought was really important. He said that the new location for them, for Born in Brum, where the WS10 gaming group go, is a large warehouse which is big enough where you're able to host events all in one room. And they used to have a two-room place, and they felt like they all felt disconnected and not in the same space. So I'd like to mirror that. Hugh, have you learned anything, or just you're just awesome from the get-go, no issues?
Well, I mean, so I'm not really involved in the day-to-day running, so I guess I don't have much to say with that. What have I learned? I guess the best thing was we opened up for a specific audience, which was essentially people like Paul, myself, and like you, Rob, is people who've kind of come back to the hobby, are in their mid-20s to, you know, or older, and are coming back to the hobby, and they, you know, they have partners and families and careers and everything, but they're now interested in Warhammer again. And a lot of the existing venues or stores weren't necessarily the best place to, after work, carry your army across London and go play a game at. And so I guess what I've learned is we've managed to get our target audience, but we've had to kind of change up a bit as well. We've had to change up how the cafe works a bit. You know, we've had to get some kind of hipster beers and ales in, beer on tap, things like that, to attract that market as well. And things like, I think that the biggest lesson is how much work goes into maintaining a community. I kind of thought, oh, let's just run a monthly tournament and something else, and that's fine. But you need to keep hammering on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and do continuous events like a league and a slow grow league to really maintain the community. Because ultimately, people don't really owe you their time. You've got to make it worthwhile. And if someone comes in, you know, on a day there's no AOS event or nothing going on, then it's less of a reason for them to come. You really need to provide a reason for someone to come at any time. So it's that kind of continuous hosting of events and growing the community. It's just, it's a full-time thing, which I don't think I really realized. That's the biggest lesson for me, as someone who generally works from afar on Badman Cafe rather than on site.
Right, that's sweet. So obviously now we have to talk about the nightmare in the room, or specifically not in the room, in everyone's room, the COVID, the Rona.
Not touching anything.
No hands. So we have to talk about the Rona. I'd also just like to point out that a couple of things. DJ Batman's wife has just returned home having worked in a shift dealing with some Rona patients. So big shout out to DJ Batman's wife. He also, him and Twitch Village Idiot have both found out that they're both maritimers. They're both in the Navy together. So they've just met over the Twitch chat to talk in Navy talk, which is really sweet. and also Trog, who also organises the WS10 Gaming Group, says he, as a community manager, effectively for his group of people, says definitely this: you need to keep a continuous promotion of events and club nights going to keep people interested. Yeah. And then Virulent says beers on tap and craft beer were the best improvement he thinks that's happened. So the COVID obviously has had a major effect, and with I know you guys have been going for a while now, but with startup businesses or even businesses that tick over quite nicely but maybe aren't like, you know, Boeing, I don't know, something like that, this is obviously going to be a major change. Like, how did you initially react to it, and then how are you reacting to it at the minute?
Okay, I'll take this one. So as we were just saying, it's actually essential for us that people come to our venue. So the second that they did that announcement, I think it was the 20th, to say that everyone's, you know, closing down, Boris Johnson said, can you, restaurants and bars and cafes, can you close up tonight as soon as possible on a Friday night and not open tomorrow, tomorrow being the Saturday? That was after about a week and a half of fervor and public panic, okay? It's essential to understand this, because what was said earlier in that week by Boris Johnson was stop going to cafes, stop going to restaurants, stop going to bars. So we had a few days of people not coming. I mean, that's understandable. And then a few days prior to that as well, because of the how the news was accelerating and the media and information, people were just starting to stay away in large numbers. So it became kind of a ghost town pretty quickly. And we went from a full venue on an evening to, you know, suddenly not even needing the number of staff we had on a shift. So that happened almost overnight. It was crazy. And it was essential for us to have people come into our venue. So I don't know if you know this, Rob, in addition to running, you know, Warhammer events and Board Game Cafe, of course, as we are, we also do RPG nights. And that's a huge part of our community, going off what you're saying before. People would come down any night, they can come down and play RPGs, but they would come down specifically on a Thursday night because we would host an RPG night. One of my colleagues, one of the staff at Badman Cafe, Tom, hosts it himself, organizes it, puts people into the correct groups, play different games, Dungeons & Dragons or anything else, and will actually host and run his own game for beginners on the night. So that's a huge draw for people. What has this done for us? Well, on the first Thursday after they announced this stay away from cafes and bars things, no one came. We had one or two people turn up when we'd normally have, yeah, like I said, a full venue of over 100, which was, you know, a smack in the face. We had no idea. And there's preparation and then there's that. So unlike, say, some stores which can provide maybe delivery service, we weren't geared for that necessarily because we're set up for people to come in. What we've had to do to adapt. So, yes, of course, everyone is now technically working from home as much as they can. Obviously, can't be serving beers from home. I am serving myself beers from home, and it's been amazing. but apart from that, I've got a lot of work to do, of course, in terms of adapting the business to take things online as much as possible. So the RPG nights that we were running, we're now running online. Our Discord server runs those on a Thursday night. We've got community maintenance in Discord in terms of every weeknight in Discord, we have something going on. People come down for just play some games, play some video games, chat. There's a hobby night, painting night. We have different people coming on to doing painting lessons, painting chat, hobby chat. And then in addition to that, and here's the, it's not a shameless plug, it's actually full of shame. Our website, badmooncafe.co.uk, now has a shop online, which we're selling our Games Workshop stock through that, and the standard discount that you get in the store also applies online. Small caveat is that, as you probably all know, Games Workshop have stopped producing. They stopped sitting out, stopped producing. So what's on our site now is what's on our site. Once that runs out, it runs out until further notice. We can't restock, effectively. So those are the things that we're actually doing, at least to try and keep things going. Our homepage is currently set to something which our community have been asking us to do, which is a way to support Badminton Cafe, because we've been overjoyed, honestly, at the outpouring of support we've got from the community. People saying, "Hey, you go, how are you guys doing? You know, or we want to support you while you're closed. Why don't you stay open?" This is amazing. So our site now has gift vouchers that people can buy just to support us in the meantime. Obviously, they're redeemable when we reopen in store. For anything in the store, you could buy a coffee with them, you could buy a beer, you could buy a pizza, you could buy models, anything like that, it's absolutely fine. And there's the tickets also for the RPG nights that we do there as well, in addition to our online store. So it's affected us pretty badly, understandably. I think it's affected hospitality industry in a huge way across the country. You've seen in the news, people have just been laid off in their thousands, in their tens of thousands, literally, and that is absolutely horrific. One thing we're proud of is throughout the whole thing, throughout the 10-day period before we were technically forced to close, we managed to hold on to every one of our staff members, which was fantastic. So no one lost their job if they were working for us at the time. And currently they're at home still with the security of knowing that they have a job to come back to. When we reopen, I underline that word, there's going to be a massive party, trust me.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting watching different businesses adapt, and especially when they do it in such a positive way as you guys have obviously done. I saw the outcry, I guess, from your community saying, please give us a way to support you through this time, because obviously, and that's a bit, it kind of retouches on that idea of the community that you create, but also the community supports you. They want that service to be there when everything is over, so they're like, yeah, we are going to, like, how can we do that? And I think that that's actually should give you a good indication of just how important you are, and also all local gaming stores are to their community. Do you think you guys are fairly well placed in London, and have you thought about, or do you know anyone at other local gaming stores? Like, I think of, I've got friends all over, so like Jolt Games, for instance, which is a local gaming store, both for my friend Jimmy in the chat and some of my other friends around the world, which is just based in Canberra, which it doesn't have tons of traffic. And then you've got New York stores, and then you've got like places out in bumfuck America that, like, you got any ideas like how those places, have you seen anyone adapting or doing some clever stuff, or not really?
I mean, I think the Just Play guys in Liverpool are kind of doing same day delivery. We're trying to do the same by getting, you know, Will to get on his bike and deliver emergency obby supplies, which is one way to go. I'm kind of on the Hackwick Rule Zero WhatsApp chat for the Magic Madhouse guys, Tim Willoughby, I think is his name. I'm not sure what they're doing. I think they may be doing deliveries. I mean, it hit us, as Paul said, it hit us quite hard because we didn't have an online store, really. And so switching to selling stuff online was hard. But having said that, when we opened, we wanted all the stock Games Workshop will allow us to sell to be on the shelves. So we've got a lot of stock. So in a way, if we're not paying rates and we've got, you know, a massively reduced outgoings, there's a, you know, we've got a really good chance of surviving this just by selling our stock as we've got. And, you know, we will be reopening with a massive high. But yeah, we're doing fine. But I think the smaller stores are having a harder time because their stock levels aren't as high, which is a big issue for them. You know, GW aren't making anything, and a lot of other manufacturers have stopped production, so there is no restock coming. So we are lucky in a sense. We have a huge amount of stock, and that is our lifeline right now.
I would say, Rob, I don't know if you know this, but there is actually a war game equivalent to the panic buying of toilet paper, and that is Citadel Chaos.
Oh, yeah. Ray. Oh, I know.
I don't know if you know that. There was an absolute run on it, as if, you know, oh, the world is about to end. We're all going to, you know, it's an apocalypse of unprecedented kind. I need black undercoat. And so we've been getting inundated. We had something like 30 cans of the stuff available at the time, thinking that we accidentally maybe bought a bit too much before this happened. And then people were doing something. They're actually running into the store. Just a couple of days before we closed, said, "Oh my God, thank God you're still open!" And they just ran and grabbed a fun block of Chaos Blacks and run to the counter. It was quite bizarre. And Unsurprisingly, we've run out.
Yes, and I'm sure soon, like Dude I Day saying in the chat, and big up Dude I Day being there. I see you also, Moon Tyranid. All the Agrax, Earthshade, and Null Noil that's available.
Yeah, people have been resorting to requesting gloss null oil, which is truly the last resort of a desperate person.
And then some matte varnish spray.
I've stopped.
Yeah.
What I do now at the end of a hard day, if I've redone a good load of work, I just crack open a null oil gloss and chuck it down.
Not to be encouraged, but for people at home to do.
Do not try that at home. Especially not the gloss one.
That's interesting. I did not know that was a run, but I kind of understand that. I'm one of those people who I at least get to the undercoat stage with all my grand plans. So I'll build an army completely, I'll base spray it, and then I'll be like, that's mainly painted now, like in my head. So I'm most of the way there on that army. So I thankfully have only got the hard work to do at this stage, although I am a little bit worried about wash. But then I guess you could stave off that for a bit. So plans, obviously, when we get to find out about reopening and stuff, you plan to have big parties. Are you also, a couple of little things, I don't want to teach you any business stuff because, you know, I'm not that guy, but have you thought about breeding tigers?
Definitely.
We have the space for it, actually. Yeah.
Because there's an option. Apparently, that can get you all sorts of money. And also, are you a little bit worried that your customers are going to get a bit used to just having small packets of models delivered to them on bike? You know, like, there's just a guy now, like, everything's over in the future. They're just sat home like, oh, I really need 5 more intercessors. It's like, okay.
Exactly. Deliveroo. I guess we could actually transfer it to Deliveroo post-apocalypse and see if we can have a Warhammer
Deliveroo. I think you should do that. A pizza and a box of models. That works.
That works.
It really works, yeah. all right. Yeah, so what are your plans, sorry, for the future?
So I guess I'm just going to try and run a blowout AOS tournament, 2,500 points, maybe push it to 3,000 points, the whole day kind of thing. As a, you know, to say thanks to the community, we'll have to put in a huge GW order again. I think when we opened, GW told us we had the largest order for any store ever in one go, I think is what they told us. But we'll have to do that again, which would be tough. And then probably, just have a Friday night mega drinks and game thing, I think, and invite everyone over. What is our legal capacity, Paul?
It's 120.
Okay, we'll have 120 people over to drink, I think, when we're back.
As a nightclub promoter, I would like to just say, I would just like to call, and obviously you 100% intended to stick to legal limits, but I'm 100% calling bullshit. Never once have I put more than 110 people in a 110 capacity bar. Never in my life. I'll give you a small...
You don't know the draw, Chaos Black.
Yeah. Just do a prize on the door. Someone's going to win a can of Chaos Black spray. It's like you have.
We're actually going to spray a logo on their wrist.
Thousands. Gitly in the chat says, "Oh my god, Hugh, I'm so in for a 3,000 point tournament. Can we stream the grand reopening? We could potentially. That could be a cool thing to do.
We'll definitely look at that. The big question is when. Obviously, we don't know the when. No one seems to know the when. Definitely, we're going to make a big fuss about this. And once we get going, as you're saying, we'll run a Sigmar tournament, of course. We're going to run the Bad Moon Rumbles again. We'll do a Bad Moon GT, which we had set up previously. It was a 40K GT, which, for obvious reasons, it's got cancelled, but that was sold out. All those things need to get back on track. But the actual day of the reopening, what we hope to do is have the stock back in stock from Games Workshop, assuming that they get back on track. A restocked fridge, null oil for everyone, and just have a big party, pizza, beer, and you know, welcome back. Thanks for coming. Thanks for supporting us.
No, no, aperitif sound great.
There you go.
That sounds great. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's interesting. And if you guys are out there listening now on the podcast, because I know you're all over the world, or you're watching live, drop me a message on the OS Wargamer or tweet me or do something like that. If you've got some other like local heroes who have been setting up some great LGSs or you know, in the other places, it'll be great to hear about those and talk to those people in the future. So yeah, have you guys got any final thoughts, anything you'd like to talk about now, or are you set for the day to swigging Nolan Oil?
I can't wait to see everyone back again in the cafe. I think everyone's hungry to play Warhammer, and it may be months until we can. But in the meantime, paint your armies. I do not want to see any unpainted armies at the first War in the Mortal Realms.
Yeah, agreed. Thank you for subscribing, by the way. Someone just subscribed, so I'm saying thanks. Paul, any thoughts?
I would like to say a massive thank you to everyone. Honestly, the outpouring has been, it's been emotional. It's been amazing. I would say stay with us. We don't know how long it's going to be. Join our Discord server. That's the best thing to do. Come and chat with us there. We've got a questions for the team chat in there where people can ask us all kinds of things. Are you delivering Nolan Oil directly to my face? When can I play again? What nights do you do gaming nights? Are you sending this kind of thing? Do you have stock of whatever? Please just drop in, ask us questions, talk to us, talk to the community. Participate in the hobby night, as you were saying. You know, everyone's got these unpainted models now. Come down on hobby night, which we're currently doing on Wednesdays. Just hang out, chat with us, tell us what you're painting. We've got a painting group in there to show what your progress has been so far. So stick with us. We will be back, but please stay with us and in the meantime.
Fantastic, yeah. Good. Some really good stuff. Good. Okay, well, thank you very much for both coming on the show. I appreciate it loads. And again, let me know when the date is. I'll come down if there's non-oil being thrown at me. That's what I use to keep my beard black at this point in my life. Chaos Black spray for my chest hair. We in the chat, by the way, said just spoke to my sister in London. She's looking forward to reopening as well. Looking forward to trying to get some games in next time I'm in London. And a big shout out to Owen Jefferson, I see in the chat. Well, thank you both for being on the show. I'll put all the links in the show notes so you guys can follow those links. Or if you're watching on YouTube, again, all those links will be in there. You can reach out to these guys. Like we said, I'll put the links to the Discord and everything else in. So do that. And thank you again for joining us. If you want to join us again tomorrow, it's a twofer tomorrow because it's Thursday. You got the Stream Street Day 17. Sounding scary now, the numbers. And then also join us for the 40K show on Thursday, which is going to be fun with Tom and Nikos. So please do join us for that tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Stay hydrated. And thank you for everyone who supports Zones War Gamer on Patreon. You guys are great. See you guys soon. Have a great day.
Cheers.